Rejoice, dear listener, for your endless march through the internet has finally produced something to add meaning to your empty, meandering existence. Your friends at Idiots Discuss the Universe are digging up musical gems of the past and deciding if they have any shine left or not. Welcome to Old Gold.
It's that wonderful time of year.
It is time we've done on one of these. I don't know what time of the year it is because it's an old gold and they just come out arbitrarily like months and months and months after we do them. But I think we are going to we're getting kind of caught up. And for the folks that are really like keeping score at home and like, you know, cross referencing our episodes and have like the chart and stuff, make it easy and to make it one clue concrete, we're doing this episode right after Spenny's top 10 metal albums of the year.
Right.
Yep. And we did the top 10 metal albums, and then as an extra bonus icing on the top of the metal cake, we got more metal. That was from Portland. So we listened to 13 metal tunes. And for an old bones man as such as me, Craig, who's a host of this show called Idiots Discuss the Universe with my friend and co-host Spenny.
What it do?
Here. For an old fogey like me, that's a lot of metal. That's a lot of youthful energies that it just draining the life force out of me. You know,
it was tough. Honestly, it was
He has no idea. He has no idea. I mean, if I just could live long enough, I would love to catch him when he's 50 sometime, and just sit him down and say, here's 13 fucking 4-minute pieces of noise that we're going to listen to this afternoon and see what he does.
Keeps you young, Craig. You say it drains you. I think it keeps you
young. How big of a smile he gets on his face at that time. Mm-hmm. But no, but it was really a nice list, and it was a fun episode, and I'm glad that we did it.
But
we need an old man palate cleanser. And there's no better type of Idiots Discuss the Universe episode out there in the whole green earth, Benny, than an old gold episode. Yeah. To slip in some old man music,
to make it balance the scales,
and we're gonna do one of my favorite songs. I mean, like seriously, this is like right up there, dude. Like of the top five of my favorite songs, of all time.
Okay,
it is one of the greatest Texas country western songs ever written. And the version of it is just, I mean, like, wow, it's amazing. I mean, everybody and their dogs covered it, of course. The original is amazing by an amazing songwriter, artist, Townes Van Zandt.
Okay.
Who is just like a powerhouse of like the late 60s, early 70s songwriting in Texas. You know, everybody covers his songs and he's still like just a legend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Rest in peace.
R.I.P.
And this is probably like his, I don't know if it's his greatest song, but like, this is my favorite song that he wrote of all of it, and this is my favorite version of this song that he ever wrote. And it's the song Poncho and Lefty.
Poncho and Lefty.
Poncho and Lefty.
It sounds like one of those songs that I've definitely heard, but then I don't know the title to, and that once I hear it, I'm going to be like, oh, it's this song.
I'm feeling like that's what it is.
Yeah.
I almost feel like we've done this on the show at some point. I don't know.
Possible.
Because every day is a new day to Spenny, you know. So like,
it is. It's a wonderful way to live.
Could do old gold. We could do an old gold episode every week, and I could do the same song, and he would still be like,
"Wow,
I don't know. Maybe I've heard that. I don't know.
Did we listen to this song? I don't know." Yeah, and I meet Craig for the first time every day. It's really great.
He has like a series of tattoos that kind of help him get dressed and out of the house.
Yeah,
but after that, it's all brand new.
Yeah,
you know, it's wonderful.
Yeah. It's nice.
A short recording that his mom made, just kind of explaining some of the basics.
You make music. You're dating a girl. You work here. You can drive a car. It's okay. Yep. You can do it. You'll remember.
Oh shit. Yeah. No. So the name of the song is Poncho and Lefty, and the version that we're gonna do is by Willie Nelson and Merle Haggard. And Merle Haggard, we've just talked about in the last Old Gold that we did together, which was Okie from Muskogee.
Yay.
Which was so much fun. That was a fun
one.
Huh?
That was a good one. That was a fun one.
And Merle kills it on this one, too.
Oh, shit. Merle.
But this song's, you know, I want you to kind of like listen to the words. I don't think you're going to need to look up the lyrics just because the words are so clear.
Okay. And,
you know, it's got a very interesting message and maybe or maybe not like a historical connection that we can talk about.
Okay. Cool.
Afterwards. So let's just, without further ado, do you have it up? 1983, Poncho and Lefty.
I got it with Willie Nelson.
All right.
Merle Haggard.
All right, let's roll it, and then we'll come on back afterwards and have a little chit-chat.
Let's do it.
Living on the road, my friend, was gonna keep you free and clean. And now you wear your skin like iron. Your breath is hard as kerosene. You weren't your mama's only boy, but her favorite one, it seemed. She began to cry when you said goodbye. Sank into your dream. Poncho was a bandit boy. Horse was fast as polished steel. He wore his gun outside his pants, where all the honest world feel. Well, Poncho met his match, you know, on the deserts down in Mexico. And nobody heard his dying word. Oh, but that's the way. Ended up and left his mouth. The day they laid poor Poncho low, Lefty split for Ohio, where he got the bread to go. There ain't nobody know. All the Federalists say they could have had him. Slip away out of kindness, I suppose.
Hotel. The desert's quiet, Cleveland's cold, and so the story ends, we're told. Poncho needs your prayers, it's true, to save a few for Lefty too. He only did what he had to do, and now he's growing old.
Really nice.
Yeah. No, it's an amazing tune. Yeah, Poncho and Lefty.
Yeah, the chords were really interesting. Like, it took me a hot second to, you know, figure out the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because it's like not, you think it's going in the typical country sort of 12 bar blues
right
way, the mode, and it doesn't, and so it throws you off at first.
Mm-hmm.
But then you hear it enough times where you're like, oh, that's clever what they did. You know, it just goes into some places and it resolves, not like crazy experimentally, but just different than what you'd expect.
It's very much like written almost like a show tune in a way.
Yeah.
You know, it's very sophisticated songwriting.
A lot of chords. Yeah. Down, 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 mm-hmm. down.
And lyrically, it's... man, it's so amazing for like a story song.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I was following the lyrics along just because I was starting to miss some things, you know.
Uh-huh, for sure.
But yeah, it's pretty fucking great. I mean, I guess, you know,
let's go over the story. Poncho leaves his mother.
Right.
Favorite son,
right?
And they first of all talk about the if on the road is going to make you free and clean, you know. But now your skin's like iron, mm-hmm. and your breath like kerosene.
Yeah.
So I think that he's referring, that first bit is referring to Lefty.
Mm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
as the old worn
Lefty.
Down
he, right.
person.
He survived.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
And then it moves to Poncho, mm-hmm. and he's leaving his mother, mm-hmm. to go do whatever he's doing, you know, out in the deserts of Mexico, where he's fighting the Federales, who are letting him go out of the kindness of their heart,
right?
And they could catch him at any time,
right?
And nobody heard his dying words is mm-hmm. also a thing, mm-hmm. you know, in it. And then they insinuate that Lefty left the same day that Poncho was laid low in Mexico, and nobody knows how he got the money to get out of Mexico.
So Lefty's a bandit too?
Well,
or
it looks
is he
like
a Federale?
It sounds like Lefty and Poncho were in it together.
Right.
And Poncho met his demise while Lefty split for Mexico.
Right.
And so maybe there was a double cross or something happened there. Mm. That Lefty set up Poncho and took the money and got out of the bandit life and moved back to the safety of Ohio and then lived the rest of his life knowing that he had
done that. Yeah.
You know.
Huh.
And, you know, like he wore his gun outside his vest for all the honest world to feel. You know, that was the thing about Poncho. And then Lefty is the other thing.
Right.
And they always, and they say, you know, but it's also like this dichotomy of like man too, in the sense that like Poncho needs your prayers. It's true, mm-hmm. you know, in the sense that like we have this thing as a society, as a human beings, that we want to heap blessings on those that are already blessed. Mm. But yet we got to save some of our kindness and our love and our attentions to the lefties of the world too.
Right.
Because they only do like what they can do with what they have.
Right.
And even though it ends in this way that is not admirable, you know. I mean, he can't even sing the blues like he used to.
Right.
You know, like that has been shut off.
Right.
In a way. So he's like this thing without, like, you know, he's done what he's done to save the husk of what they both died in a way.
Mm-hmm.
In that thing in Mexico.
Yeah.
And, you know, Lefty's continued on. You know, death is quiet and Cleveland's cold.
Yeah.
As the line goes.
Yeah. So, yeah, so is it basically the two paths that, I mean, it's not the only two, but that man can take where it's like, is like the honest, good, true person destined to die, you know, like a Poncho, and then
it's the right and the left, You know, it's the left-handed path and the right-handed path. So it goes back to like that Illuminati or that inner like esoteric spiritualism thing where Poncho is the right-handed path and Lefty is the left-handed path. But also, it could be about Pancho Villa.
Right. Okay, that's the name that I was going to ask about.
Pancho Who was Villa. Assassinated under mysterious circumstances in 1923.
Huh. And
in Mexico, I mean, Pancho Villa was like a revolutionary. I mean, Marshall, before World War One, was sent down to Mexico in the Chihuahua area to put down Pancho Villa. Pancho Villa attacked cities in the United States. I mean, he came over the border with his army and like did as he pleased.
Right,
he had his own army, and he took Mexico City for a while and all this other shit, and he eventually like got destroyed, you know. His armies got destroyed, and he was like kind of set up as like this weird, they couldn't really kill him, you know, because he had like too much like support.
He
you
was
know
a figurehead,
so they just put him in a villa and let him kind of like be like, you know, this person that you don't do anything, but you're figurehead. But they didn't really give him any official title.
Right.
It's like you fuck off and you go in this villa and like we'll let you live instead of executing like executing you like what you deserve. But, you know, someone showed up and did assassinate him, and they lied about his last words. You know, in the newspaper reports that came out later on, you know, when they're trying to like defame him and stuff, his final words were, I'm dying and I haven't said anything good. Tell them I said something good. Or something like that was like what he said as his final words.
Those were the actual ones?
Well, no, but they actually, the one guy that survived the assassination, because the attack on him was like pretty much thousands of people shooting at like him and his entourage. And one guy has survived out of all the people that was with him. And he's like, yeah, there were no final words. Like a fucking Pancho Villa was fucking dead. Like before he hit the ground, you know? And so, that was a lie, but like, they didn't talk about him as like a revolutionary in Mexico for years and years and years until his rivals in the government like died. You know, and then they could start like kind of like talking about him again.
Like who he was, what he did.
And they do think that maybe somebody betrayed Pancho Villa. Maybe the guy that said that there was no last words. You know, maybe, I mean, it's hard to say, you know what I'm saying? But I do think that Towns Van Zandt knew like the story of Pancho Villa being from Texas and all of that. I mean, it's just like kind of more part of like the local history, you know. So I mean, I'm sure that like that kind of got incorporated into it too, but then he transcends that, you know what I'm saying, and he doesn't like tie it directly.
Who would Lefty be?
See, that's the question.
Yeah,
like who would be the person that would be one of Left? It would be one of Pancho Villa's comrades,
right?
You know, one of the persons that's like they're from America, like just, you know, down there on the borderlands, like doing what it is. And he's like, you know, here's where he's going to be tomorrow. And this is what you need to do. Give me my 40 pieces of silver and I'm out on the next train.
Right.
You know, I think that Towns Van Zandt is probably creating that character much in the way that like someone that would write a historical novel about Pancho Villa may picks a name from like the people that was around him and like fictionalize it into that person. You know, there's some of that probably going on for sure.
Yeah.
But it's this song that like, and then like Merle Haggard, dude, like fuck.
He's not in enough of it.
He's just right. Dude, it's really? So like it's just like that.
I wanted
perfect,
a little bit more. I thought there was gonna be more of Merle. That's
No. It was just like that crown jewel. You know, like
comes in for a verse. It's like
the boys tell how Pancho fell.
Yeah.
And left it living in cheap hotels. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
No, but it's.
Death is quiet.
And Willie, man. Willie, he just, you know.
Oh, dude.
There's something about his voice. I mean, obviously, it's beautiful. Like, he can just, you know, sing any song, but it's just got this quality where you're just like, oh, shit.
And it's such a so weird produ- it's such a weird production too. It's like that early 80s. It's kind of it's definitely like that other Willie Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson song, the Highwaymen song that we listen to.
Yeah.
It's got that kind of like really super produced thing. It's got that really jingly happy piano intro to it too.
That was weird. That
That's
was a
weird.
Weird.
It's it always strikes me as weird still. Yeah.
Like it just goes right into it, and you're like, okay, it's kind of a
rocker. It's like it's like a show tune.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was Townes Van Zandt like that?
No, he's just like a skinny old cowboy looking guy. Yeah, no, he was not like you'd not think Broadway at all when you saw him. But, you know, he may have had the training. You know what I'm saying? In the sense that he was that level of, like, songwriter that, like, you know, I'm sure that, like, he knew, like, Gershwin and, like, all of those folks that the American Songbook, you know, he just knew probably backwards and forwards, you know, and drew from that a lot. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. But, yeah, that's what I got is that.
I like it. I thought it was going to go into a more, when you were explaining at the beginning, that it was ties into stuff today. I thought it was going to get a lot hotter under the, you know, like, be more, about more like controversial stuff, but I don't know why I thought that, but, no, it's, I see the connection, but I also see how it's very specific. They're talking about, they're referencing a specific person in history. If at all.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, I mean, it's definitely specific storytelling.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's very, like, all the detail. I mean, it's just very well done in a sense. Whether it's Pancho Villa or not, like, I would say probably not. You know, like, at the end of the day, like, it's not, like, a one-to-one lineup with any of it.
But it is, there's enough details in there where you'd think, like, there's no way that he wasn't aware. Like, with killed in Mexico, last words were up for dispute.
Federales. You
know, Federales, like Lefty. I don't know who Lefty is, but someone who betrayed him and escaped. Like,
and there
too
is
many
kind
things.
Of like this thing is they let Pancho Villa like go as being like a local strongman for a lot longer than they really probably needed to. And they could have sent the army in and just ended him, you know. And he did. He was like a guerrilla fighter in northern Mexico for like years and years, and like they just no one ever had like enough Marshall was gonna go take him out, but then World War One started and they left, and so he just kept kind of like doing his thing until like 1923 or whatever. So he was kind of like ignored in a way, so
out
like
of kindness
could
they
have got out of kindness I suppose
Yeah,
it's so cool.
I'm pretty convinced. I'm pretty convinced. It's at least he had to be aware of, you know, he was doing it on purpose. And then obviously, like, turning it into a whole story where it's like you don't even have to know about any of that.
That's what I'm talking about. There's a song in we were talking about how they had to like condense the vocals. You know, we were talking about in the metal list of that one band,
Gargoyle.
Gargoyle.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't wait till they start to, like, kind of, like, make the vocals work as vocals first and then more as, like, the, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's kind of got to work with the melody. You can tell that, like, Townes Van Zandt is totally that. Everything, nothing is sacrificed. Everything is sacrificable just to have, like, those, because there's so many, like, one-liners in this song, too. It's just beautiful, like, little gems of lyrics, you know, that all the way through it, you know. And it doesn't quite make sense, but they're so strong. The images are so strong that you just put, like, so much of the story together.
Yeah.
And that's what's brilliant about it, you know. You just populate it with Pancho Villa. You know. I mean, there's a million ponchos in the world. Like, why would it be Pancho Villa? Because there's no Lefty in the Pancho Villa story. But you just like, oh, yeah, no, like a poncho died in Mexico. Of course a poncho died in Mexico. There's all sorts of people named that down there.
Sure.
You know, but like it just like you just it inspires that, you know, where you just turn it into like you know, it becomes rich because the imagery is so amazing, mm-hmm. you know. And then the ballad structure also, like, super yeah. lends it to that. Like, it could go for another 20 minutes telling you stories about yeah. shit, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, cool.
Yeah.
Oh, another Merle. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I just want the story to go forever, especially, yeah. like, that's I think that's why you want more Merle. It's because when Merle started singing, you're like, oh, dude, it's the storyteller guy yeah. has showed up. You know, yeah. like the initial fanfare's over with Willie, and now that really smooth voice dude's going to do a couple verses where he really gets into like what's yeah. going on, yep. and then it'll be Willie, and we'll be done.
Yeah,
you know. But then it's Gordon Lightfoot. You know, that length. You know, it's an 8 minute song, 9 minute song.
What, this song?
No, if that was...
Oh, if it was.
If they did it that way, it would move into that, epic type of level.
It would.
Like the song, which I would be totally good with, probably. Oh, yeah. But, you know.
But Towns Van Zandt didn't write enough.
It wouldn't have gone number one on every chart that it got anywhere near like this one did.
Oh, it did, huh?
Oh, yeah. For sure. Oh, yeah. Country Western number one, like adult contemporary number one, like everything but Billboard's like rock. And it even got to like in the 20s. It got in the 20s of the rock.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. I don't,
because it's not really totally country.
It's not, yeah. It's not. It's a very cool mix. It's got some yacht rock.
Yeah, oh sure it does. Yeah, it does, absolutely. And you could tell that like Willie was trying to expand. There's a reason Willie Nelson is Willie Nelson and everybody loves Willie Nelson, is because he did songs like this that weren't quite in the Western country Western canon, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so it would get played on normal radio and people would be like, it's country, but it's like so like not that like moms love this song.
Right.
And like,
yeah,
everybody, like a lot of people that like, because it wasn't enough of any genre for anyone to really hate on it too much. And it was just lovable old Willie Nelson.
Right. What are you gonna fucking hate on Willie Nelson old
Oakie,
for?
With the Oakie from Muskogee guy.
Yeah.
I mean, what's not to like?
The Merle Haggard sounds way deeper, you know, on this song. You can tell he's got some years on him in this one.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I mean, Merle Haggard, just depending on how he's produced, you know, that Oakie from Muskogee, he is a young man in that, you know, probably maybe early... late 30s maybe or so in that or something, because I think he got out of jail in the 50s at some point.
Oh, that's right. What did he go to jail for again?
I don't know. Just thieving, just being fighting and killing. He might have killed a guy. He wrote a lot of songs about killing a guy. Yeah. Mama said, does he say in Mama Said? Mama Tried. Does he say in Mama Tried what he did?
Killed a guy?
If he killed the guy or not. Let's take it home with the song Mama Tried by Merle Haggard.
All right, let's see.
Try to find the oldest version
Mama
of it.
Mama Tried, Merle Haggard. Let's see, when is this? 2006.
We want an old version.
I mean, it's got to be a re-release, but let's see.
He died like 2000 something.
I mean, this is like the original version, but it looks like it's on a
That's fine.
re-released thing. What?
He might say what he did in this song. I can't quite remember.
Very weird. Okay, let's see. Well, let's check it out.
All right. Mama Tried by Merle Haggard. Thank you all for listening to another Old Gold. We love having you. We're going to have you again in another couple days. Till then, we're just all over the internet. It's like a fucking disease.
Yes, we're spreading.
Just all over. Yes. So find us there. Say hi. We'll say hi back.
Hi.
If we're not feeling too cool.
Yeah, we might.
Happens sometimes.
We do feel pretty cool these
Especially
days.
If you're hitting up Spenny.
No,
sometimes blows y'all.
No, that's blows not y'all. True.
You got to be strong.
I'm just a very busy man.
If you love Spenny,
busy guy.
Be strong.
I'm a busy guy. There's a lot of things I'm doing, and you love me.
So just be prepared for some low dosage.
What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. That's
okay.
Silly.
Okay, never mind. Never mind. That's Merle Haggard, Mama Tried. Mama Tried.
All right, let's do it. Mama Tried.
The first thing I remember knowing was a lonesome whistle blowing and
and a youngin's dream of growing up to ride on a freight train leaving town, not knowing where I'm bound, and no one could change my mind but Mama tried. One and only rebel child from a family meek and mild, my Mama seemed to know what lay in store. Despite all my Sunday learning, towards the bad I kept on turning, till Mama couldn't hold me anymore. I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried. Dear old daddy, rest his soul, left my mom a heavy load. She tried so very hard to fill his shoes, working hours without rest, wanted me to have the best. She tried to raise me right, but I refused. And I turned 21 in prison, doing life without parole. No one could steer me right, but Mama tried. Mama tried, Mama tried to raise me better, but her pleading I denied. That leaves only me to blame, 'cause Mama tried.